Hey, Brendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
I'm Hitter.
Yeah, that's right. It's our special, one of these special Dan episodes of Going In Raw. So we're very happy to have you here, Dan. What have you been up to since the last time we talked to you?
Nothing.
Absolutely. You've been literally waiting there for us?
I've been sitting waiting. Yeah, you didn't Skype call me last month, so I was just sitting here silent.
You can't blame that on us.
You were on vacation.
Holiday.
Holiday.
I got engaged.
Oh, really?
Yay!
Shows how much I pay attention. That's fantastic. Congratulations.
Congratulations, Dan.
Thank you.
All right, anyways, moving on. Enough of this mushy crap.
Seth Rollins came back.
That's right. Welcome to Going In Raw. Seth Rollins is back. And he's jacked. He's huge. He's making me erect.
Yeah, I was waiting for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we know.
It's a big, throbbing, erect Seth Rollins. Anyways, what was it? Extreme Rules was last night.
Yes.
We have much to talk about. There's no book of the match this month, but we are going to do some more power rankings. Or no, we're going to do a belt.
Create a belt.
Brought to you by Dan. Yeah. So let's talk about Extreme Rules. We can just go match by match.
Okay.
Let's just go match by match. Let's start off on the pre-show.
I didn't watch the pre-show, so you have to fill me in.
Okay, let's start off with the actual show.
No, you can start with the pre-show. I'll just listen.
What happened in the pre-show again? Okay, I know what the main event of the pre-show was.
There was a segment between... Oh, sorry.
What was the other match?
That was the only match. It was just Baron Corbin versus Dolph Ziggler.
What about Cass and the Dudleys? Was that on the main show?
No, it was on the pre-show.
They just shouted at each other and then it stopped.
Oh, I thought Big Cass, like, beat them up. I didn't see that part. I had a family invasion. One of my many stepchildren had a birthday, and then, like, unbeknownst to me, the grandparents came over, and I was like, it's clobbering time, people. You gotta get out of here. Anyways. Big Cass mixed it up with the Dudleys, from what I understand.
Yeah.
But didn't Cass kind of look... They made Big Cass look strong against the Dudleys,
yeah,
though, right?
He beat him up.
Yeah, he just beat him up. All right. Anyways, in the most important match of the entire night, mind you... Main event. The official Going In Raw wrestler, Baron Corbin, destroyed Dolph Ziggler.
Can we vote on that? I think we need to vote on that.
Yeah.
The vote is actually limited to full-timers, Daniel. So.
That's not true.
I still don't think you'd win.
Once you watch Raw and report to us on a weekly basis, you will fully be eligible to vote for this.
But I don't agree
in the meantime, because
you're
the
Dan should have a vote.
I don't think that's worth it.
One-fifth of a vote is fine for me. You can have one-fifth of a vote.
Great. Then you'll lose.
Oh, yeah, I'll still lose. Huh?
Yeah.
As long as you and Larson consolidate your votes. He wants Apollo Crews to be the going.
No, I want No Way Jose.
Well, that's not fun, though, because I want No Way Jose, too, but it's more fun if we're at odds.
I want Ryback.
He was tweeting about the impact in the impact zone during the pay-per-view last night. His new career goal is TNA.
Yeah, he has no. Well, here's the thing. He has no shot at Ring of Honor because he can't wrestle.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he could dominate in Japan, but something tells me Ryback doesn't know how to get a passport.
Stupid!
all this paperwork is stupid. I'm illiterate.
He just puts his last ring name in there.
He calls himself Ryborg. In his tweet last night, he said Ryborg. He's not partially machine. I know that for a fact.
That's him being clever.
And then, yeah, where else could he go to Lucha Underground? I don't speak Spanish. Spanish is stupid. Okay, Ryborg, relax. Anyways, Dolph Ziggler got. Where does Baron Corbin go from here? I'm assuming another 3 months of Dolph Ziggler feud, right?
Yeah, I thought this feud was over after Raw.
There was a Raw
when Corbin beat him.
Yeah. It's funny because WWE.com, I'm pretty sure it was WWE.com, they tweeted out the rubber match between Baron Corbin, but I'm like, wait a second. Dolph won the first pay-per-view one.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that other...
They won on Raw, that Corbin won.
Corbin won one on Raw.
And then there's like five matches they were supposed to have that never happened because of someone beating
the other person. So I guess this was the rubber match? I guess. I don't know. Anyways, Corbin won this. He dominated thoroughly. He kicked out of the Famouser, which is like the most devastating move. It's been proven scientifically as the most devastating move in wrestling.
Everyone kicks out of Dolph's Famouser.
Ever since Billy Gunn pioneered that move.
He was the only person to ever win a match using that move, though.
It's a good... I don't think he ever won a match using that. And then he would always do the hot tag to Road Dogg, who would come in and do the... What was it? What did he do? The thing? Remember that thing?
What did he call that?
I don't know.
It was just punching people, though.
It was just falling and punching people. And then, of course, yeah, so where does Corbin go from here? Speculate.
Another pointless mid-card feud.
It can't be Stardust now.
No.
Who would it be with?
Oh, yeah.
What are you doing over there? Why are you dicking around on the other computer?
I got an echo in here and it's disorienting.
Pay attention.
I am paying attention.
Okay. Dan, where does Corbin go from here?
It goes back to NXT just for holiday. I think he'd have a nice time in Cornwall.
Yeah.
Hang out there. And then he'll have an ice cream.
That's in Wales, isn't it?
No. But it's fine. So. How dare you? I'm not going to talk anymore.
Oh, no. I'm sorry, but I know what Toast of London is. You have to be appreciative of that fact.
You do. Well done. I do like the fact that it's one of the only things I've never seen.
Really?
I do know that one bit so well. Yeah. You don't know any other part of that show. I would have thought you were a lunatic.
That's the only part I know too, because I even forget how I knew about it. Like somebody tweeted me something about Toast London, and I was like, "What is this?" And so I looked it up, and that was the segment that came up. I was dying laughing.
Yeah.
Is that the only thing I need to see of that show?
Got to see everything. That is a Channel 4 show, and Channel 4 shows tend to be very good. And I never tend to watch them. I don't quite know why.
That's odd. What does Doctor Who run on?
BBC One.
Oh, is that like that's a primetime stuff, and that's like
that's
the big
Channel One. Number one.
Top channel.
Top channel.
Top channel. One we have to pay money for every year to make go.
Yeah, is that automatically taken out of your taxes, or is that like you pay a licensing fee, right?
Yeah, you pay a license fee for the BBC, just BBC 1, 2, and then whatever other guff they have. But that is just you get sent a letter that's like, you will die if you don't pay this thing, and lawyers will come to your house and smash your tally up, and you have to pay us separately now.
How much is it every year?
£170 or something, I think.
Are you serious?
A lot. I'm gonna.
Holy shit! That. I thought it was like £15.
No.
That's a massive amount of money for watch TV.
That's a huge investment.
I know.
£145.50.
That's like $3,000 American.
Yeah. $3,000 Australian or Canadian I would have given you, but maybe not American.
Our conversion rate's way better than that.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Sorry, it's $1,500. Okay, so anyways, Baron Corbin moves on to some other mid-card feud. Dolph Ziggler moves on to some other mid-card feud, probably further down the line because he's dropping. He's going to fight Apollo Crews next.
Probably.
Okay, so we kick off the show with what?
The Usos versus The Club.
Oh, yeah, that was the kickoff one.
My guaranteed lock of the week.
Yeah, I still say the guarantee lock was Roman Reigns.
That's an obvious guarantee lock.
Oh, there's two locks. No, the obvious guarantee lock, and then there's the guarantee lock.
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought this was one of those things where WWE might have thought that the Usos needed the win more than the Club because the Club is still really hot. But I was wrong. They actually they did something right for once. They booked the Club to win, so that's good.
They did. Who are the Club? I haven't watched wrestling in 2 months. It was great. I actually felt really nice going into it because I was like, I'm genuinely excited for this, mostly because I had no idea what was going to happen or what the card was or what was going on, because I haven't even watched Payback. I didn't even watch it yet.
Yeah. Okay, well, here's the thing about the Club. So what happened was in New Japan, there's this like massively over faction called the Bullet Club, and they're basically just the NWO from 1996. Like, they're hugely over. They have really, really cool merchandise. Like, they have these shirts that look really, really cool. You'll see them, like, in NXT. Anyways, the WWE really wanted the Bullet Club because AJ Styles, before he came over, was, like, the leader of the Bullet Club. Mm-hmm. And he ended up leaving to go to the WWE, and WWE was like, oh, we like a couple people from the Bullet Club, so we're going to bring them over. And then apparently they tried to buy the licensing rights to the Bullet Club. They basically tried to purchase the Bullet Club. And so they, as part of their sort of rating of the talent of New Japan, they brought over Shinsuke Nakamura, who's like the best thing in NXT right now, and they brought over like the two main tag team, or the main tag team guys, Doc Gallows, who used to be Festus in the WWE. If you want to look up Festus, it's terrible, terrible, terrible.
That's a great name.
Yeah. That was pretty much the only thing that's great. I mean, if you Google him right now, you'll look at him.
I Googled
like,
the word fetus. Hang on, everything's going quite
oh,
well.
Oh, goddamn. No, don't do that.
Don't do that.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's him. He was also part of CM Punk Straight Edge Society, so he was a little bit cooler than that. But he came over along with Carl Anderson, Who a lot of people said, I think Finn Balor or AJ, one of those guys said that he's like the best wrestler who's never been in the WWE. So anyways, they brought those guys over and like they basically are testing the limits as to how far they can go with the intellectual property of the Bullet Club.
Like YouTubers pretty much.
They're
pushing fair use.
They're pushing fair use as far as they can. And so like they first came in and it was like, oh, it's those guys. It's Anderson and Gallows. And then I think it was only a couple weeks before they started, like, I think JBL just said, oh, they're getting the club back when they, like, sort of officially rebanded with AJ Styles. And they reference New Japan all the time. And then they just start up straight up calling him the club.
Well, also during Anderson and Gallows' video package when they come out, there's a couple quick shots of some bullets or bullet cases against a table.
I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, it's still there. It's right in the beginning.
And their ring gear is like exactly like Bullet Club stuff, except without Bullet Club on it. So it's, yeah, they're getting very courageous with their IP ripoff.
Yeah.
So anyways, they're bringing him in with AJ Styles. And another side note of that is Finn Balor, when he was Prince Devitt, was the original leader of the, but he's the guy who founded the Bullet Club. And so his call up to the main roster, which everybody's been saying is going to happen any day now, probably when they get back from the European tour, is probably going to coincide. He's probably going to be inserting himself into this whole Bullet Club thing. So yeah, basically they have everybody saying Bullet Club, and on WWE they're getting around it by just saying the club. So
for now,
there's your history lesson, Dan.
We had a history lesson. History. Yeah.
You'll be tested later. So yeah. Anyways, the club versus Usos. I figured this would be one of those things where the WWE would be like, you know what, the Usos. Like, I figured this is the logic. The Usos really need to get over, and they've been having a good run with these Bullet Club guys, and so to have them go over in this case probably wouldn't hurt the Bullet Club that much. But I was wrong. Bullet Club went over.
No, I think your logic was sound somewhat, but I think the win they got was the one on Raw.
The
blow off match, the Bullet Club got.
Yeah. So Bullet Club won this. I don't know. It was a decent match. Like, it's funny, these guys they've developed really, really good chemistry with the Usos. I really don't want to see them fight anymore because, Dan, you haven't been watching, but it's been like literally
every show for the last 2 months.
Every Raw and SmackDown has had some variation of the Bullet Club versus what they're calling the Family.
The Bloodline now.
Yeah. The Bloodline. Oh, I like that better than the Family.
The Wyatts were suing. It's like, no, we're the Family.
Oh, I know, right? I know. Hey. That's that whole situation. So yeah, Bullet Club went over. We'll talk about this in the main event and see exactly what happens with the Bullet, because, you know, obviously they interfered in the main event.
Yeah.
See exactly what happens. But they're taking this story very, very slowly.
Yes, they are.
Like, every month we're like, okay, so is this the time when they turn on AJ Styles? Because they're really teasing the Bullet Club being more heelish with AJ. And this is kind of cool because it's like the Bullet Club is more heelish than AJ Styles. AJ Styles is like pure babyface. And like last night when he was wailing on the Usos, it was obviously his breaking point, and it took him a while to get there. But ever since they came in, the Bullet Club was like totally cool with fucking with people, like beating him up with chairs and doing anything at the drop of a hat. So
it's been an interesting dynamic between AJ and the other club guys.
Yeah. So anyways, what was next? What match was next?
Next we had Rusev. Rusev recaptured the U.S. title from Kalisto.
I was really surprised that they just, I mean,
that's
okay.
Like watching somebody who's never played Dark Souls go up against like the first boss.
Right,
like,
exactly. Yeah.
Just smash, smash, smash. I win.
Somebody on Twitter showed a advertisement image from remember those old wrestling dolls?
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Like a kid with a wrestling doll on his bed, and somebody said Rusev must have been reliving his childhood. Because he treated him like a ragdoll. This kind of surprising because if you think about it, if you look at the power rankings, okay, Rusev and Alberto Del Rio really aren't that far apart. Like, Alberto Del Rio comes in and he basically squashes Cena for the belt.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. Yeah. Rusev, on the other hand, squashes Kalisto last night, but Kalisto beat Alberto Del Rio like 2 times.
I think more than that.
Okay. 4 times. Whatever. Yeah. I mean, he beat him a bunch of times.
Well, not including house shows, yeah.
Okay, we don't. House shows aren't canon.
No, I know. That doesn't exist in this universe.
So I don't get the discrepancy in the power rankings here. You guys can fill me in. Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
It's because there's different rankings and they battle different things. It's more rock paper scissors than everything. There's like power, but there's also speed and stuff. So against Alberto Del Rio, who's a bit more speed, and focus on speed and over strength, then Kalisto can beat him at that thing. But when, like, you've got Rusev's massive strength is all he has. He has no speed. Kalisto playing fast match doesn't work quite as well. And if he gets caught by anything, and then just gets pounded into dust.
Power rankings explained.
Yeah.
Yes. I am now it's different power.
Look, I love Rusev winning. I honestly figured they were going to have this go a couple more matches. But something tells me the rematch is going to happen on like SmackDown or SuperStars.
Oh, it'll probably happen on Raw tonight.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Yeah, it's like...
Our show.
And they'll give him like 30 more seconds.
No, I think I like it SmackDown better because it means absolutely nothing on SmackDown.
Yeah, I know.
They'll have Rusev start his new... Well, okay, so are we thinking this is going to be... Are we thinking this is going to be because Cena's coming back and they're gonna do something with Cena and Rusev again?
Maybe.
I'm okay with that. That was fun last time.
It was fun last time, and it set up the U.S. Open Challenge, and that was a lot of fun. Yeah. I like that. I do want Rusev to keep the U.S. title for a while, though, because I really like Rusev with the U.S. title. I love that him and Lana, they've like finally got them back to where they should be.
Yeah.
Rusev looks better than ever, and he completely destroyed Kalisto. I didn't see everybody was tweeting me. There was some interview that he did last night. Where he talked about Kalisto and he said something about he was going to hide his shirt. I don't know. It sounded great. Rusev's interviews are absolutely hilarious.
Wait, he's going to hide Kalisto's shirt?
I don't get it, but apparently it was hilarious. And apparently, like, he dropped his accent. But I'm not.
He kind of did that in the Michael Cole interview, too. It wasn't as prominent.
See, I don't know what his accent is. I don't know, like, if he has, like, if he just talks like me or if he talks like.
Well, the Michael Cole interview, he still had an accent, but
yeah, he had an accent.
It was very slight. It wasn't like what it is on TV.
Well, yeah, but on TV, like, yells.
Yeah, I know.
I figured the accent, like, when, for example, my mom, she's from Paraguay, right? Yeah. She has, if you pay attention, because she's been here for a while, she has a little bit of a Spanish accent. Yeah. When she yells and she whoops my ass, then her accent is much more prominent. So I just figured that'd be the difference.
Yeah, it could be.
But I don't know if he dropped it, or if he has an accent in the first place. I figured that would just be his normal talking voice.
Yeah. I read on that Rusev said he's going to have the U.S. title for 7 years. But it's an interesting number. Why not just say he's going to have it forever?
Oh, I love that. Because maybe he... Maybe
it looks like else. After 7 years, he'd be bored with it. But like, nah, I want something true. Else.
If he's... I don't have no idea how old he is, but 33 would be a decent guess. If he's 33 and he has it for 7 years, maybe he's thinking I'm going to retire at 40.
At 40, I'm going to have one... run with the heavyweight title
he's
and call it
30
a career.
Years yeah. old.
He's 30, so he's looking at 37. Okay.
He was born on Christmas Day, 1985.
He is Jesus.
Jesus, okay.
The Bulgarian Jesus.
Bulgarian Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. If Jesus came out of WrestleMania driving a tank, I'd be way more pro Jesus.
Yeah, probably. But he was all jacked like Seth Rollins. All right, what happened next?
We had the Vaudevillains against the New Day.
Oh, there you go, the Bootios once again. The New Day, completely the most over faction, the most over act.
Oh yeah,
bar none. In
they
the WWE.
Almost made me want to watch Raw when they flash back and it's like, here's a time travel machine.
Oh, that
like,
was so good.
You know, apparently I read that was Shane McMahon's idea.
Really?
Yeah, there was something talking about like how he's been a bit more hands-on with creative. And he's coming up with ideas for people. Mm-hmm. Apparently, Time Machine was his idea. I read
is
that online.
Still around, running Raw.
He's not running anything, but I think that from what I read, it sounded like he's slowly getting his feet wet to actually.
Well, for a while he was. He's like, you get Raw.
You mean actually around, like on TV? Yeah. Him and Stephanie are co-running everything right now on TV.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah, and it's funny. We've been talking about this on the weekly podcast.
It's really awkward.
So like
their interactions are really
Shane
awkward.
Shane and Stephanie, they have this thing that comes off. And we know that it's not intentional, but the way they interact with each other, because they're reluctant, they're reluctantly running the show together, but they've started to like back each other's play. They're like, okay, no, if Stephanie says something and one of the wrestlers isn't happy with it, they'll go to Shane and try to get it reversed. And he'll say, don't try to, you know, drive away between
it's
me
like,
and my sister.
It's like when a kid goes to one parent.
Exactly.
The parent won't give him, they'll go to the other parent and try to.
Right. And so they've been forming this reluctant, unified front that's been getting less and less reluctant week by week. The problem with that is the tension that exists between them reads so much more like sexual tension than the tension that they're aiming for. Like, okay, so last week, I think it was last week or 2 weeks ago, the Dudleys come in and they're saying something like, we want to take on Big Cass or something like that. And Shane and Stephanie are there, and he looks at her and says, oh man, I love those guys. I'm talking about Big Cass and Enzo. And he looks at Stephanie and he says, referencing Big Cass and Enzo, he says, how you doing? Didn't play good at all. It's just not, it's so uncomfortable. It's like they really need, I know that's not what they're aiming for, but that's so how it reads on TV. Mm-hmm. So anyways, that's the situation right there. Wait, what were we talking about?
Vaudevillains versus the New Day.
Okay, here's the thing about the Vaudevillains. I really want them to win the belts because I think that, I said this to Lars last week. I think they're the only team in the WWE who would actually look perfectly normal with those belts on. Because those belts look like they're supposed to be on old-timey characters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They got the Art Deco design aesthetic.
Exactly. Yeah. As do the Vaudevillains. They had the, you notice they have like fancier jackets now? Yeah, that's the
pay-per-view attire.
The pay-per-view jackets. Yeah, those look nice.
That's their demon form.
Yeah, exactly.
Slightly fancier jackets.
From a bygone era. I'm glad that Simon Gotch didn't concuss anybody.
Yes.
That was good. Maybe he learned his lesson. Dan, did you see? Oh, man. He concussed the shit out of Enzo Amore at the last pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Oh, is that why it was just Cass that came?
Yeah. He whipped Enzo into the ropes, and it seemed like it was a bit too...
Well, Stone Cold said it was too hard.
Stone Cold, and I take his word as gospel, said that it looked like it was too hard.
And I think Enzo was supposed to slide under the bottom rope.
Yeah.
But either he was going too fast or didn't have enough time to do it, so his head hit the bottom rope.
Yeah.
And then bounced against the mat right on the apron.
Yeah.
Knocked him out cold.
Looked bad. Looked really bad. Like, it was, Dan, it was one of those things where it happened, and then everybody was just, like, holding their breath, hoping he wasn't literally dead.
Because it was so fast.
It was so fast, and it looked like...
before he hit the ground.
Like, it easily could have been a situation, like, where he
hit broke his neck.
Broke his neck and was done. He was fucked up. Oh, God, don't look it up.
I'm looking out.
All right, look it up. WWE replayed it a million times.
Yeah,
slow motion, too.
Yeah.
There's just still of his
eyes. They actually slow it in show motion.
They slowed it in show motion. Yes, they did.
Showed it and slowed it in slow motion.
But it was a good match between the Vaudevillains and the New Day.
Yeah, it was a good...
Oh, Jesus, he's dead!
Yeah.
Okay, right. Yeah. Track.
Yeah, no. See, you don't... I told you not to watch it.
Oh, God. I am rewatching it because.
Can we just post this as a Nerd Cube reaction video now?
No, because the Fine Brothers will find you.
So, anyways, yeah, no, it was a fun match. It was a good match.
It had the best bit of Michael Cole commentary ever.
What did he say?
Ever when Xavier Woods did the Hadouken right at the start of the match. He did a Hadouken. If you notice, he did the Street Fighter Hadouken.
Yeah.
And Michael Cole said that was downright fierce. To do a Hadouken, you go from down to right. I'm like, either that was genius, or you just locked into the nerdiest reference you've ever done, Michael
That's
Cole.
That's pretty cool.
That is horrible. That is hilarious. I guarantee you Xavier Woods fed him that.
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee you that.
It's like, oh, do this thing right at the start. Just say downright fierce.
That's hilarious. Yeah, it was fun, and Xavier got the pin, too.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, I can't remember the last time I saw that. It could be every week, I don't know. I just don't recall, like, him looking so strong. Usually he's kind of the goofball who's running around the ring. He looked really strong.
Yeah,
like
usually that. it's Big E and Kofi defending the belts.
I like to see them go. I love, like, the comedy stuff. I just want to see them as, like, a legitimate threat. That's what I want to see.
Yeah.
And I like the Vaudevillains, to their credit, come off that way.
Yeah.
So hopefully, I want to see the Vaudevillains. Like, they won me over completely. In NXT, I was not a fan of theirs.
I was okay with them for a while, and then they had that weird kind of face turn.
Yeah, right.
And it kind of took all the steam out of the whole Vaudevillain thing.
Yeah.
All the momentum they had built up just...
Didn't they debut on SmackDown? I was like, oh, they're heading nowhere quick. Yeah. But they've done a really good job building them, so I'm happy with that. Anyways, what happened next?
Then we had the Intercontinental Title Fatal 4-Way match.
Hold on, you're missing the AJ.
Well, there's an AJ interview, but I remember what happened.
Oh my! The only thing, I want my world title.
He didn't turn his head around, so it's not worth mentioning.
World title.
He looks like an indie wrestler, AJ Styles.
He looks like
whenever you see an indie wrestler, you go, yeah, that he would fit in there.
Where is that? What is that GIF from? Where it shows his face and he's all like, You know the one I'm talking about? I think it's probably from the Edge and Christian show.
Yeah, probably.
That makes, I don't know, it makes me laugh. Anyway.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Yeah, I like AJ Styles. He's great. You know, it's funny because like I've completely changed my tune. When he first came in, I was like, oh man, another TNA guy? Bleh. But man, he is so supremely confident in his role as like the biggest guy in the company right now that I'm completely like floored by that. That's amazing.
I'm the opposite. I don't care about AJ Styles.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, because it happened because of that pay-per-view. It's like, oh, 5 months ago when he debuted, I was like, that was 5 months ago. I don't think I've seen him wrestle.
Oh, you're missing out.
Yeah, he's really good.
He is real. Like, he can bring Roman Reigns. We're playing footsie with each other on accident over here. He can bring Roman Reigns to have a good match. Like, did you enjoy the main event match last night?
I slept for it.
Oh, yeah. It was like, what, 6 o'clock in the morning or something like that?
Yeah.
He can bring Roman, like, the last 2 months.
I have gone back and rewatched it. But it's one of those things where, like, I'm totally going to be late for that. And then the bell woke me up. I was like, oh, it's over. Oh, man.
He's really good. I really like
him. Yeah, the two matches that Reigns and AJ has had, the last two pay-per-views, have both been really good.
Yeah. So anyways, then we had the four-way title match.
Great match.
Which was like probably Look, the entire night I was just happy about this. I actually called this one. I actually predicted this one correctly. I figured The Miz would sneak away with a victory, and that's what happened. So I was happy with my night. Because up until then, I was like, I knew Corbin was going to win, but that was it. Like everything else, I was completely wrong on. I was like, we're in the middle of a new era. I figured we'd get new vaudevillain champions. I figured Kalisto would start a really great feud. Him being, you know, a young up-and-comer against Rusev, this monster. Nope. Same old, same old.
Well, the new era is Rusev winning.
Yeah, new era, baby. What the hell's the new era? They kept saying that last night, and I was like, "Are we doing
They've
this?"
They've been trotting that catchphrase out ever since Shane took over Raw.
Yeah, they really try to hammer it home, especially like over the past 6 weeks or so. Like it's just been like Cass literally came out, interrupted Jericho, and said, "We're part of the new era."
Yeah, Cass has kind of been the embodiment,
right? Exactly
of the new era.
Red also backstage are really big on Cass. I mean that comes across.
Oh yeah,
but, you know. Anyway. Yeah, this is a fantastic match. I love. I haven't seen a match start this way and in such a hilarious and entertaining fashion.
Sammy had infinite finishers.
He immediately had finishers. You have to build to it. So for anybody who hasn't watched and actually using this as a recap, as soon as the bell hit, Kevin Owens was not really paying attention. Because everybody's milling about and you think everybody's going to feel each other out.
Yeah, in their own corners and stuff, yeah.
Exactly. Sammy just guns it.
Shot out of a rocket.
60 miles an hour straight at Kevin Owens. Delivers him a giant kick. Kevin Owens rolls out of the ring, and they all just stand there stunned at that happening.
Yeah.
The best thing.
That was fucking great. Everybody's reaction was like, did that just happen? That was fantastic. I really loved it. Anyways, this match was absolutely off the hook. It was a lot of fun. I know a lot of people were disappointed that Miz won.
But they made the finish make sense where Sammy was so obsessed with beating up Kevin Owens and distracting him from the prize.
This really was like a perfect example of great storytelling in the ring. And when you have this many, Dan dropped out.
I'm here.
Dan,
we lost your video.
We lost your video.
Well, that's broken then.
What should we? what should we put here? What would you like us to put here in your image instead of your face?
I want just a screen cap version of Kevin Owens being kicked in the face by Sami Zayn at the start of the match.
All right, I'm gonna update you. I'm gonna ask for your update when we talk about the next match, and then each match you can have something different here.
Oh, all right, I have a highlight.
Yeah. Let's see here. Next
webcam has genuinely just stopped working.
Uh-oh.
Do you want to finagle with it, or are you cool with stills?
It's just not working.
All right.
Good. Well, I'm going to put that safely over there.
Hear a gunshot go off. Time to put it out to pasture. I don't know why Dan has an American voice now.
Pasture. Yeah. Ooh, time to place that in pasture.
Pasture. Oh, very well. Get me my Winchester, please. My Dan accent from now on. Get me my Winchester, please.
Bring me my Winchester.
Bring it here, please. Ethan, bring me my Winchester. Anyways. It's a fantastic match.
Are they going to keep doing matches with the four of these guys? Are they going to...
I hope so.
Yeah, I'd love for that to happen. I think at Money in the Bank, I think it's probably going to be done by then. I think we're
going to I imagine three, if not all four of these guys, will be in the Money in the Bank match.
My guess is this. Sami Zayn wins Intercontinental title at Money in the Bank. Kevin Owens wins. I'm sorry. Yeah, and Kevin Owens wins the actual Money in the Bank. That's my guess going forward. I don't know about Cesaro. He's the odd man out. But
it Roman Reigns wins it.
You hope Roman Reigns... Roman Reigns wins Money Party in the Bank.
On Seth. Yeah, that's a no. Roman Reigns. I got me fucking.
You said Ethan, get my Winchester now, please. Roman Reigns
is gonna win Money in the Bank because he's going to win He's gonna basically have the championship and the Money in the Bank. So as soon as he loses it, he can cash the Money in the Bank in and become champion again. So we can get a small flutter of flame of hope before it's snuffed out by the WWE. Much like no.
I'm sure that's probably
it's been discussed.
That's something that I think that's probably something Vince would love to have happen. I don't think he's eligible to win Money in the Bank though if you're a champion.
Do you know that for sure?
I've looked up the bylaws.
The bylaws?
The bylaws of the bygone era. Yes, I know this for a fact. No, I have no idea.
I think Shane's going to win it. You think? I like the idea of the guy running the show can also at any point just cash himself in. He could probably do that anyway, being the thing, but he just likes to have the briefcase as well.
I would actually really agree with you if you said Triple H, because I think that he's not too far gone from that.
Yeah,
fucking had the title.
Vince comes out. Ah, I want to.
That still bugs me that Triple H had. The more I think about it, the more how many people are in the main event. Why couldn't you just got a surrogate to do the exact same thing he did?
Yeah.
I think it would have been different if the main event of WrestleMania wasn't so awful. They put on a good match.
You're right. If he had put on the same match that he did with Dean Ambrose,
the payoff would have been worth it. But instead, it was so anticlimactic.
I was just thinking about that. I was like, so many people in the main event scene who deserve that title.
I know.
And he's had it a trillion times.
If you'd said, Kevin Owens, you're my new... Well, right, exactly. I think also it goes back to how he explained it, which was not... Alright, I'm tired of having all these guys hold the belt in my stead. I'm going to do it myself because these other guys haven't been able to do the job. If he had said that, it would have made more sense.
He said, I want it. I'm going to have it. I'm like, okay, so you wrote yourself into having the belt?
Yeah, it seemed dumb.
Anyways, this is a reality era. Okay, move on.
Ambrose and Jericho.
This
match would have been better if it happened before the Intercontinental title match because it wasn't bad.
Yeah. Okay, you're exactly right. Here's the thing. This is sort of the tale of, this match was two matches. There was everything pre-elbow drop from the top of the cage, and there was everything post-elbow drop. Because everything post-elbow drop was fantastic. It's just the frenetic pace, you're exactly right, of the IC match made the opening of this, the first 20 minutes or so, or 10 or whatever, 15.
It felt like 20, though.
Yeah, it felt like 20. A complete bore.
Yeah.
They had the build to it, but that logic was sort of stunted because of what we just saw. So
A segment was cut, so they had to add 10 minutes to the match, and they were told as they were going out, extend this by 10 minutes.
Are you shitting me? Holy crap. Do you know what was cut?
No idea.
Stardust segment. Stardust versus Ryback.
Stardust versus Adam Rose.
Ryback.
Special guest referee, exactly. Yeah. Ryback on a pole match. Come get me, stupid!
Help, I got stuck on this pole!
I'm stuck on this pole, stupid! Who wants to see Ryborg on a pole?
In the impact zone!
Who wants to see Ryborg in the impact zone? That's gotta be tweet of the fucking year right there! Who wants to see
In the middle of a WWE pay-per-view, he says that.
Who wants to see Ryborg on a fucking
TV? He's trying to increase his clout. By tagging it WWE Extreme Rules.
That's great. I wish that would have run on the broadcast of Extreme Rules. That'd be great.
That'd be great.
All right. Anyways, what about that? Anyways, what happened next?
No, we can talk about that match more if you want to.
What is the match? Oh yeah. No, the end was great. The thumbtack, all the spots from the... I just felt so bad for Ambrose because he jumped off the fucking cage and people didn't care because the beginning was so slow and plodding. Yeah.
Well, also the match before, the crowd was so invested in it.
Yeah, I mean,
they were worn out.
Yeah.
So there's the margin of error for not completely destroying, your leg Like, if you notice when he lands, I looked at this in the slow motion thing too, because I'm like, how do you land exactly? You sort of skid off your ankle,
Shins.
your shins, yeah, exactly, and land like this.
Yeah, you kind of land on your shin and knee instead
yeah,
of on your feet
exactly.
because you break your ankles otherwise.
But if you catch like
Oh, you
this,
have a cinch situation.
you are so far fucked. Man. Ugh. I don't know. I'm not huge on those spots anymore. I've seen them before, and they were fun back when you sort of didn't realize how bad you could fuck up your body. But these days, I just want them to take it completely easy. I just want all rest holds.
I would say that in terms of extreme maneuvers using weapons, the thumbtacks is probably the easiest one.
That was the best spot. Like, that
Oh,
was
yeah.
easily like the coolest fucking, like Jericho taking that
But
was.
I'll say that my opinion on that is based solely as I was hanging up a poster in my room when I was young once, and I fell off my dresser,
Yeah.
and I got up, and there's a thumbtack stuck in my palm,
Yeah.
and I didn't notice it when it happened. I just look inside and goes, well, that didn't hurt at all.
You
So I
talk.
assume that whenever someone gets a thumbtack stuck in their person, on their body, it doesn't really hurt.
Did you no sold the shit out of that
Yeah,
thumbtack,
I didn't know it was there until I looked.
though, huh? Yeah, you gotta take some lessons on how to take bumps better, man.
Well, it was a match against me and my dresser in my room.
Probably thrilling too. Probably more exciting than
It was a poster on a wall match.
the Hang me up, stupid!
Come on, it's hanging poster time.
Who wants to see Ryborg on the wall of Larson's baby house?
On the impact zone of Larson's wall.
Dan, where's your webcam? I want to see your laughing face.
It literally is incredibly warm and smells faintly of melted silver.
I'm gonna put like a little icon of Dan burning over here.
Webcam on fire.
Webcam on fire on a pole match.
Oh, goodness.
See,
great.
I would have changed the ending of that asylum match because I wanted Dean to go in the tax. I wanted Dean to get like ripped to shreds and then win. Because if you're trying to sell, and again, this is the thing that I say every fucking time I'm on this, if you're trying to sell the guy as a lunatic, actually make him a lunatic. If you have like he then gets up from the tanks and he's there standing, blood dripping off of him, and you've got like shots of his back, you can have a nice shot over the shoulder where his shoulder's like covered in tacks, looking at Jericho's face, and he's like, oh crap.
Yeah, no, I see. I mean, if you really want to take that to the next level, you can have him flat back bump into the
tax on
tax
his own accord.
just to freak Jericho out.
Jericho did sell the thumbtack reveal really well.
Oh yeah, big time.
He
Yeah,
was great.
he's a fucking pro. He's an absolute pro. And like you said, like if he's leaving soon, then taking it the extra mile. I think he definitely did that with the second half of this
Apparently, he's
match.
advertised for Money in the Bank in the Japanese tour in July.
Holy shit.
So he's not done yet.
Fozzy's is still getting their shit together, I guess. That's good. That's cool. I mean, Jericho's been doing really, really
Yes.
killer work lately. So that's good. Anyways, what happened next?
Natalia versus Charlotte.
Oh boy. What a good match that ended in such a terrible way.
Yep.
I was not happy with that because it was a really good match before then. Really good story being told. They were emphasizing the submission aspect of things perfectly. You got to really see what they could do.
And the match seemed really short.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. And then out comes, and look, I love Dana Brooke. I loved her in NXT. I love that they're booking her strong. And I even like that she's being involved in like the big leagues of the women's division now. I did not like at all how this turned out. I thought if you want a really, really, like if you want to make Charlotte sort of like the strongest women's champion we've seen like in ever, like since the Trish Stratus Lita days, book her to win this clean. I mean, you can use some heel tactics here and there, but book it so that she wins it clean and Natalya taps out clean.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Having Dana Brooke show up as Ric Flair, I wasn't huge into that at all. And because like you don't really know, like there's no prior relationship there. Like
Yeah,
if they
that's the
were gonna
thing.
do it, I was like, make it be Charles Robinson. Make it be
Yeah.
Lil' Nate.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, that kind of makes sense because they've already set that up. Dana Brooke doesn't really make sense.
Yeah, they didn't do anything to set up the relationship prior to that match, so it came out of nowhere.
Right. So if they're gonna do something like this, I mean, tonight obviously on Raw we'll probably see, more of their relationship. But I don't know. I didn't really. It really bummed me out. I thought that this could have really been, especially, I think maybe especially after the Montreal Screwjob throwback last month.
I will say this, though. I'm assuming they got Dana Brooke involved because Emma got hurt. But what if they did this? If they did, this was the start of the Four Horsewomen on Maine.
That could be kind of cool. That'd be really neat. I'd be into that. Dan, are you still there?
I am. I'm still here.
I can't see you. It makes me so sad. Anyway.
I'm here, guys.
Anything to add to this one?
Yeah, that was the worst wig I've ever seen in my entire life.
It was really weird.
It was less than a wig. They're like, shit, we didn't get a wig. Quick, get some fucking Mr. Whippy on there. Done.
That would have been actually good. I'd have been more on board if she just came out with that for the sheer, you know, weirdness of it. Who wants to see some whipped cream on Ryborg's head in the impact zone? Stupid. Come on. It's whipped cream time.
It would just slide right off his perfectly shiny head.
You can't go out there without whipped cream on his head. And then, of course, in our main event,
yeah,
we had Roman Reigns versus AJ Styles.
Great match.
I was thoroughly entertained by this match the entire time.
They made me believe there was moments where Styles could win.
I know.
I knew he wouldn't.
I know. You know, I really wish they just let him wear the belt for a little bit. Like, I really, really, really love this match. I thought that my only gripe was that Roman Reigns had so many kickouts.
Yeah, it's like that, the spear is the strongest finishing move ever.
I thought that AJ needed at least two more kickouts for this to be like, and I would have been okay with Roman winning, I guess, if they had given AJ like two more kickouts.
Yeah.
Because they did that for Roman endlessly.
The Styles clash looks really weak, considering he had like two or three of them, one onto a chair, and Roman still tapped out. That still kicks out.
Well, one of them, an Uso, pulled AJ off the pin after one of the Styles clashes.
Yeah. I forgot I needed more reasons to hate the Usos.
I thought it told a decent story.
Yeah.
With AJ going batshit crazy with the chair, I thought that was a fucking great spot. That was fantastic. Yeah.
And I assume this would be the end of this feud.
The crowd was really funny. Because the crowd, no matter what Roman did, they still...
You still suck.
Yeah, I like Bubba Ray Dudley tweeted out his disdain for the crowd. He says, for all you people chanting, you still suck at Roman Reigns, you suck.
Wow.
I know.
He's got Ryback as his writer.
Who wants to see Ryborg ghost some tweets?
Who wants to see Ryborg be Bubba Ray's social media manager?
Exactly, yeah.
In the Impact Zone.
In the Impact Zone.
I would watch that as a backstage segment. I would absolutely do it. I just want to see Ryback use a phone. I find that image just hilarious. Just these giant sausage fingers pressing against the screen.
Look at the Triborg try to tweet. Where are the buttons on this?
That should be his character, Triborg.
Triborg, yeah.
He just tries new things.
Keyless entry. Stupid. Oh, yep. Goodness. Anyways, I love this match. That was a lot of fun.
It was good.
They went in the crowd. There was tables broken everywhere. AJ Styles used a chair a lot.
Roman Reigns can't sell for shit. This is the addition of this. I just remembered that he had that fucking... They were like, oh, his knee is so injured. And then he, like, catches and holds AJ Styles upside down for a while.
Oh,
his
knee.
And then he's just like, oh, yeah. Oh, no, my knee. Ow.
Yeah. It's the tale of two. Like, AJ Styles is, like, the great... Like, he's one of the best sellers the company has right now. It's like he's a main event... He's like a main event Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah.
Like, a guy who can actually main event, but it's not Dolph Ziggler. One of the high spots of their feud right now so far has been the fact that AJ Styles sells that Roman Reigns should be a power guy. So whenever Roman Reigns does something that looks, I mean, anything basically, like AJ Styles sells the shit out of it.
Yeah.
And that makes Roman Reigns look really strong. Here's the thing about Roman Reigns is that if we didn't know, if Roman Reigns had more feuds like this, if he had more programs like this, I'd be totally okay with him being the champion. It's just that we were force-fed him in such a horrible manner that, like, the stink of that is just so pungent.
Yeah.
That it's, like, it's hard to give a shit about the guy at all.
He's a massive charisma vacuum. That really doesn't work in his favor.
Yeah. I wonder if it's more of a factor of... I think the dude probably has a lot of charisma. He just doesn't have any experience showing it. I mean, we just don't, we don't see
he's
it.
He's never spoke to another human in his life. He's been bred in a tube by Vince McMahon for this purpose. For this purpose only.
It wouldn't surprise me.
I think also his character is kind of poorly defined.
It's not defined. You're exactly right. That's the thing. Like it's not defined.
It's the defined.
It's not poorly defined. It's not well defined.
It's the defined.
It's the defined.
Stupid. I mean, I agree with all those points. Like, it just, I don't know. His ascension has been so mishandled that it's obvious he doesn't know what he's supposed to be. There's obviously conflict backstage on what he's supposed to be. So I don't know. Whereas on the other hand, AJ Styles, I know exactly what he is. He wants the world title. World title. I love saying that in AJ's word. World title. Sorry. Anyway.
I think we're getting to the point where Roman Reigns is gonna murder Brock Lesnar, and then I think I'm gonna give up on wrestling and cry forever and ever and ever. That's the point we're approaching, I think. We're getting there, slowly but surely.
Well, I think it was supposed to happen at WrestleMania 31. That was supposed to be the end of that pay-per-view.
Yeah, but we bitched enough to change a thing. We can bitch enough to change a thing again.
Yeah, so let's talk about that. Seth Rollins came out at the end. Or anyways, a guy who looked like he ate Seth Rollins. And he's strictly protein, so it all went to muscle. Because that's the way that works, right? Eat a lot of protein, you automatically get muscle.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Anyway, Seth Rollins came out, and the crowd popped big.
I wish he had his music. It would have hit so much better if it was his music.
I know.
That's such a wasted opportunity when you don't have the music. I know he's going for a sneak attack, but just have him attack him from behind. It's simple. Yeah. It's Wrestling 101.
I do like the crowd. I was looking at the crowd, because I'd read that he was backstage, and I was just looking at the crowd, and sure enough, I saw the first guy just point his finger to off camera. Then they widen out a bit, and you see Seth Rollins there. It gives him the pedigree, and then stands tall with the title. It'll be really interesting to see what happens on Raw tonight.
I'm guessing Seth will open the show.
I'm guessing he will as well.
That's
probably
when
we'll
get his music pop.
They made a big stink about saying he never lost his title, so I want him to come out with his own title. I want him to come out with that and say, you never beat me for this.
Yeah, thanks for holding this for me. Thanks for keeping it warm.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I have my side plates for my title here. I'm ready to put it right back on.
I've got my glue with me. Roman, I've got glue.
I hope he just has his title back and it's got his side plates on. He's just like, yeah, well, it's my title and you need to earn your own one.
Exactly.
I would love it if he just doesn't acknowledge Roman as the champion and that just really makes Roman go crazy, because then Roman would have character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But he makes it awkward too. He just sort of, they were talking to Roman backstage, and then he walks up with his title, and everybody just goes silent.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's right, him. I don't know.
You can have the match for the World Heavyweight Championship and introduce both of them as champion.
Yeah.
And then have
exactly.
People backstage I can't remember who was champion. And I don't know. And then just literally just drive Roman insane.
No, I like this. How about you you pump both their entrance musics in at the same time? And then get both what's her name, Jillian Garcia and JoJo in the ring at the same time, and they both announce at the same time. The both names. They both walk out at the same time, but they don't acknowledge each other. It's kind of like
the Miz and Sandow. Yeah,
no. That's good. I was gonna say it's kind of like in WWE 2K if you have a tag team that comes out together. But they don't. But you don't have them. You don't have them sync up their entrances.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think you can do that now. They just do their individual.
Yeah, yeah.
That'd be good. They don't acknowledge each other. I don't know. I don't We can go a lot of different places. I have no idea where this is going to go, because AJ Styles and the Bullet Club are still together. They didn't. There was no dissension there, so they have to do that still. If it's really going to be Balor Club, if Finn Balor is going to come up and interact with this. Seth Rollins is in the scene now. Cena's coming out next week, but we're assuming he's probably going to dance with Rusev first.
Yeah.
I don't know. Speculate. What's going to happen? Rollins is going to come out, say, I'm the real champion. They're going to start some of the Roman Reigns. Where's AJ Styles go?
I don't know.
You're not going to speculate at all?
Dean Ambrose is going to need someone to play with.
It's true.
Wait, who? Say again?
Ambrose.
Yeah, that's true. That's true as well.
Yeah. But all the logical fuse to move on to, say Kevin Owens, he seems busy right now.
Yeah.
Unless they're going to do Miz.
Kevin Owens is always busy. That's his thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's always in 15 feuds at once.
I know, and it's always great. And he's and whenever he does commentary, it's amazing.
He's the best commentator in WWE.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I don't know. I look forward to.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going to go on.
I don't know what's going to happen.
Okay.
No, I don't know, because everybody that I want to see feud with Styles is busy.
Mm-hmm.
Except Ryback.
I like this, though. This is the thing, though. I like when we're in a situation where we're like, oh, Raw's coming up. I wonder what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And then we always kind of expect too much.
And also, like, that everybody, pretty much everybody in the upper mid-card and mid-card, they're in feuds that we care about for the most part.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's obvious that, I mean, I don't know, do we see Money in the Bank as the possibility of AJ Rollins Reigns in a three-way dance?
Maybe.
I don't know.
Or you could have the three guys in the IC belt that weren't The Miz in Money in the Bank, plus mm-hmm. Styles, plus mm-hmm. Rollins, maybe. I don't know. Well, I guess we'll see tonight whether we're going to get Rollins Reigns at Money in the Bank.
I'm thinking, yeah.
Although it seemed like there'd be a better build-up for SummerSlam to do that.
Yeah, I know. I agree. That was going to be some lame tag match at Money in the Bank. That'd suck. Because I think Rollins' point would be, I never lost the belt, so why should I have to deal with Money in the Bank? That's the thing. I don't think he's going to be in the match. I think he's just going to be, hey, look, I didn't lose the belt. I'm not going to Money in the Bank. So, I don't know. My prediction right now is AJ versus Roman versus Seth Rollins. Although I'm not sure AJ really has a claim to another match.
Yeah, because Seth didn't screw him out of the belt.
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't know where. I think my only thing is I don't know where AJ goes from here.
Yeah, I know.
That's the only thing. So I don't know.
Rusev Material. Rusev Crush.
Rusev Machka.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, you know what you could have? If Dean Ambrose takes it, Money in the Bank, and then you've got Rollins and Reigns having their Barney in the title thing, then you've got basically that big Shield Barney that everyone wants so desperately. With Ambrose constantly waiting on the sidelines of it.
I have to use Barney more to describe a fight.
Yes, I do quite like the term Barney.
I love that term. I've only heard it one other time, and that's in A Hard Day's Night. John Lennon says it. And then you just said it the second time I've ever heard anybody say it. I'm like, that's fucking great. Oh, God. Anyways, let's move on to our segment. Our world title, make a new title segment.
Create a title.
Create a title. Yes, it's me.
So, explain the segment and then dive right into it.
I can't remember how we did it last time. I come up with a new title, and we all come up with the people who we think are like the top contestants and who would be best for this title.
Okay, I like it.
I like the idea of a title that can only be passed in I Quit matches.
Mm.
So it's a title where you literally have to make the other person give it up to you.
Right. But this is the thing that I like about it. So you can literally try to just convince somebody to give it to you as well.
Yeah.
Like if you either monetarily say, hey, like the $1 million bill, you know, hey, here's a bunch of money.
Or if you're just good at creating like rhetorical just arguments.
Really good. Exactly. Yeah. If you want to challenge somebody to a debate.
Yeah.
As to why you're a better champion than they are.
Okay, right back. One of these wrestlers only tells the truth. One of these only tells a lie. He's just like, stupid, and throws the belt. Just have it. Okay.
Yeah, you just confuse somebody out of it as well. Yeah, some of the stupider people. I like that.
I like the I quit belt. Or the give up belt, whatever the hell you want to call it. I think this is a good toy for Lesnar to have for a while.
Yeah.
Instead of having him in the main title. Because trying to make Lesnar give up would be a monumental task. It basically makes a title belt for a boss fight.
Yeah. I'm trying to think about Lesnar, though, because he's like a part-timer. And maybe if you can convince him that this has to be defended on a full-time basis and the WWE doesn't have it in their budget anymore,
then he has to quit.
He's got to give it up.
So he has to keep going. Actually, yeah, this belt makes Lesnar fight more. I'm down with it.
He might do that.
It'd be great if you get like backstage segments of you just got Lesnar's, just like you hear it like a ding dong at front door, like the camera shot inside, and then like the door opens and it's Lesnar's standing at the door. He's like, here, have this. I don't want it anymore. The door slams shut, and the camera pans over to real CM Punk looking confused, holding a belt.
Man, I was watching on the UFC's Twitter feed the other day. This is so fucking sad. On the UFC's Twitter feed the other day, they were like, hey, we're in Chicago, come find us. And it was CM Punk and two mascots from, like, Chicago sports teams. And I was like, that's pretty much CM Punk's role in the UFC at this point. A fucking mascot, like a fucking...
You see, he was on Twitter saying, "You can."
He's on Twitter a lot.
UFC is going to be in Chicago. You can get tickets 90 minutes early using this promo code PUNK.
They have to get his fucking money's worth. They're like, look, we paid a lot of money to bring you on, and you're not doing anything for us. So here, pose with this fucking mascot.
Yeah.
Like the worst ambassador. Oh, God. Who else could have this particular title?
Who is a good submission wrestler currently? I would say Daniel Bryan, but he doesn't wrestle anymore.
Who is a good... Who, they have a good submission. Jericho was the man of 1,004 holds.
That's true.
In WCW. So Jericho, I could see Jericho doing that.
I think it can add a lot. It's sort of belt adds a lot to a character. So if someone like Triple H gets a hold of it, like Triple H fucking wants belts. Like, that's his thing.
Yeah.
He wants belts upon belts. Actually making Triple H give it up to you is something that you can basically keep on that character for years and years and years. And that totally changes Triple H. And it makes him hate someone forever.
In that regard, Kevin Owens would be a strong candidate for that title as well. Because he's very focused. He's very focused on making the IC belt his. Like, he's not looking to move on. He says, this is my belt. He's very possessive about it. So I think he would be another good candidate in that regard.
I would think Sami Zayn would be a good candidate because his whole character is about having heart and not giving up.
There you go. That's good.
Much like Cena. Cena has his submission-y things. Well, yeah. That thing where he looks.
And one of his catchphrases is, never give up.
Yeah. Never surrender.
Yeah.
That's character play.
Never give up,
yeah. I think it adds a lot. You can... I like belts add a lot, and then I'll get bored of them and throw them away. I'm pitching myself to be a rider.
Yeah. Well, this is the place to do it, especially with the icon that we're throwing up on your little thing right now. We'll put like a little Vince Russo icon for Dan right there. Or no, put a William Shakespeare one.
Down with that.
Yeah, that'll work. I like that. That's a good idea. And I quit title.
Yeah.
But you can be coerced out of it. Somebody
who's a good talker that could convince someone to give up the belt.
Yeah, Seth fucking Rollins.
Seth Rollins, the architect, yeah.
Yeah.
Dean Ambrose, if he was truly a lunatic, you don't want to deal with him. So you just, you know, yeah. He'd be a tough one because
Jericho would have totally given that belt up to Dean during that match.
I agree.
Especially that's how you could have done the tack thing. Yeah, Ambrose throws himself onto the tacks, and Jericho just hands the belt over, like, what up?
But yeah, it's all yours. It's all yours. There you go. I like that a lot. That's good. All right. Is that sufficient for your belt, Dan? Do you have good candidates now?
Yeah, it's good. I'm going to now pitch this idea to the WWE.
Write it down. Be sure you credit us where our you know...
Contributions.
Our contributions lay.
Yeah, I will. When I'm famous, I'll remember you fondly.
I appreciate that. Whenever that happens. All right. I know it's funny. I'm like, why does my Twitter thing say 20 plus, which means, you know, 20 and infinite, up to everything. I'm like, oh, because Dan responded. Okay, that makes sense. Asshole, I can't keep track of my shit now. And then fucking Emma likes something, and then, oh, God, there it goes again. Somebody's literally filling stadiums now. All right. So anyways, that's going around. Dan, thanks for hanging out with us.
Bye.
Yeah, and then are we going to see you next month for Money in the Bank?
Yeah, blood.
Should we do a book of the match for Money?
Yeah, oh, that's true. Let's do a good one.
Have we done the Money in the Bank where CM Punk?
Yeah, we've done that already.
We did that one already. Okay. What about the money? Was that the same? That wasn't the same Money in the Bank where Rollins won the.
No.
Do you want to do the Money in the Bank where Rollins won the Money in the Bank?
That was only 2 years ago.
You want to do? Oh, he's seen. Yeah, the point of book of the match is to do stuff Dan hadn't seen. What was the very first Money in the Bank match?
It's probably at one of the WrestleManias.
I think Edge won that one. I don't know what it was, but if you want to agree on that one.
Yeah, I'll look into it.
Let's make sure we haven't done that before.
Yeah.
And then, we'll figure out. Hold on a second. I'm going to Google this.
Oh, yeah, I have my phone in my pocket. Well, I'm going to turn over to my laptop.
Remind me later. Done. I don't know why this is my history is on here now.
It's going to be its own separate little match. Okay.
First Money in the Bank match.
Pay-per-view. Well, the match was at WrestleMania.
First Money in the Bank pay-per-view. Let's see when that one was.
WrestleMania 21. Jericho lost to Edge along with...
Boy, that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
The first event was in it was in 2010. Let's see here.
It was the year before then the Punk one.
Here we go. Okay, hold on 1 second. Let me see. Oh, the poster featured Kofi Kingston reaching for the Money in the Bank.
Ooh. Who were the participants in the Money in the Bank match?
Let's find out.
Oh, there's two of them.
Oh, yeah, there's two
of
them.
That was the night Kane got it, and then, spoiler alert.
Okay, so yeah, Kane, Big Show, Matt Hardy, Christian, Kofi Kingston, Cody Rhodes, Drew McIntyre, and Dolph Ziggler.
I think there's two of them, though, wasn't there? Yeah. Oh, that's you, the Miz won it.
Oh, God. Hey, God. That's it, then. We're doing that one. Because, Dan, this is right up your alley.
What's the main event of that?
Sheamus
versus John Cena.
No, I want to like wrestling for longer. Can we not?
Rey Mysterio defeated Jack Swagger for the World Heavyweight Championship.
Wow.
Let me see what the card for WrestleMania 21 is.
And then Kane. Oh, Kane must have, he cashed in immediately.
Yeah.
Because then Kane defeated Rey Mysterio.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, WrestleMania 21 is the one you went to in LA.
Oh, the Hollywood one?
Yeah.
That was a good one. You want to do that one?
Yeah, we can do that.
WrestleMania 21, Dan.
Sounds good to me.
All right, that's our book of the match for next month for our Money in the Bank pay-per-view recap show. Dan, once again, thanks for hanging out. Thanks for everybody for hanging out. And be sure to check out tomorrow night's regular weekly edition of Going In Raw. And we'll talk to you guys later.
Goodbye.
Ta-da.